am I kidding? It's dark. Not even 4:30 yet. Downtown on a Monday afternoon. Time for us to talk some Bruins hockey as we welcome in Ty Anderson of 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston. Hello there, Ty.
Hey, Rich. How are we doing?
Well, it's been 2 weeks. I still have not adjusted. No, it's only been a week. See, I don't even know anymore. It's dark so early in the day, I'm lost.
Yeah, this is not a fun time. I guess it gets a little bit easier maybe when it's colder because you don't want to be outside or you don't really want to. There's not a ton to do, but yeah, no, this has been terrible. This has not been great, and we're just beginning. That's always fun.
Yes, indeed. Well, again, we get into December, at least the days start getting longer. A little solace there, but it helps me a little bit. But let's focus on the positive things, like the Bruins, who continue to play some pretty good hockey. What happened to them up in Montreal?
You know, I think in Montreal, they just didn't have it, right? And I don't know if this team is necessarily equipped to win every single game when they have their B or their C game. You know, that's a big difference between last year and this year, is that they need to be firing on, you know, at least I would say 3 out of 4 or 3 out of 5 of their cylinders. And if they're not, it's going to be harder to win. And I think that's kind of what you saw there, where, you know, it happened so quickly, 27 seconds in the third period, Canadiens scored 2 goals in less than 30 seconds. So, I mean, you know, when you're going through that and when you're not finding your game 5-on-5, it's going to be harder to win some games here unless, you know, you get a takeover performance from someone like David Pastrnak, who has done that, you know, many times already this year. But if you don't get that consistently and your supporting cast isn't playing well, you kind of get what you saw on Saturday, which is a game that's kind of hard for them to win.
Kind of a bad penalty, too, from Brad Marchand. Jim Montgomery talked about it after the game. You'd hope with that C on the uniform he'd make some better decisions, but he is who he is.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I didn't like about it was that it felt like a really quick hook for a captain. You know, captains are typically given more latitude to argue with referees or state their case, but I thought that was a quick trigger from the referees. I thought the referees kind of had a bad game all around. I didn't love their night. I think that players just want consistency. They want to feel like they know, you know, when they can and when they can't argue. So I know that's been an issue, I think, around the league, not just in Boston or with the Bruins for that matter. But, you know, there's just game-to-game consistency isn't the same, and it hasn't been the same all year. So I can see both sides of the coin, so to speak, when it comes to that case. But, you know, I guess the best part is that he makes up for it, right? He scores the game-tying goal, helps. What I was just saying, the team is not talented enough to deal with him not being available.
Absolutely. You had a really interesting piece on our old friend Jeremy Swayman, who he was ready to drop the gloves and go the other night.
Yeah, he's definitely, I mean, listen, Jeremy Swayman loves the rivalry between the Bruins and the Canadiens. I think he wants to bring it back with fever pitch. He is very, you know, he's a guy who I think has been really charged up this year emotionally. Obviously, his play has been phenomenal, but this was his third incident now this year between he's had one with Corey Perry, he had one with Jamie Benn, and then he gets one with Brendan Gallagher. So he's playing a little bit feistier. I wonder if he's seen some Tim Thomas highlights and he's trying to maybe take on some of that kind of mindset. But I think that, you know, Swayman, you need guys like him over the course of an 82-game season beyond the obvious of his goaltending. You know, his attitude, his approach, I think it's been a little bit different. You know, he still has moments where he's cool as a cucumber back there, but he's also been willing to kind of join his teammates in a fight. I think that kind of goes a long way with the team.
Well, and as you pointed out in your article, he is an interesting guy. The mustache comments, you don't always know where he's coming from, but clearly loves the game and loves this moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's been really interesting that, you know, they go through last year, both he and Omar just being on top of their game, just the best 1-2 punch in hockey, and then it all disintegrates in 13 days, you know, for both of them. And Omar, you know, wore the brunt of that. He understandably so. He started 6 of the 7 games, but, you know, Jeremy Swayman is a net for game 7. They give up a game tying goal with a minute left, and then they lose in overtime. You know, there's a bit of embarrassment that comes with that. You know, talking to both those players, they were pretty angry. You know, they felt it, that they didn't want to go through that again. And I think that's been the biggest difference between their mentality, is that they are fun-loving. They are very, you know, gregarious by nature. But I do think there's an element there of, you know, that they're going to channel their powers to be, you know, ruthless, I think, in terms of how they man the net and how they protect the team and lead the team. So I think their personalities are still there, but they're channeling it in a way that I have yet to see in their 3 years together.
We're talking with Ty Anderson here on Downtown. Also great on Saturday to see Charlie McAvoy back out there returning from his suspension.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, you know, it's kind of funny. The appeal took, what, 4 days? And by the time they say, oh, he's not going to have it reversed, it's like, okay, well, it's over now. What does it matter, right? So he comes back and he gets 2 assists in the loss. I mean, you know, he's the guy. He's got to be a driver for them. You know, between he and Pastrnak and Marchand, and even to a lesser degree, Carlo and Lindholm, when you look at their usage and how they're deployed, you know, this is sort of their foundation outside of the goaltending. So you need nights like the one that McAvoy had on Saturday. You know, he's got to kind of make it up to his team now. He was suspended for 4 games. They win 3 of 4, I know, but a lot of guys had to play a lot more minutes than the Bruins would like them to. And so it's on McAvoy now to kind of continue to do what he did on Saturday and make it up to his teammates for sitting out for 4 games.
Well, you mentioned Swayman trying to get this rivalry up and going again. And, well, another chance to see him as they'll play this time around at the Garden on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that Saturday night at the Garden, Bruins and Canadiens, I mean, that should get the crowd juiced. And you hope that the fans and the teams follow suit, because that this is a rivalry that it needs to come back. And it's gone away for a multitude of reasons. You know, the Canadiens being a rebuilder hasn't helped. The NHL schedule hasn't helped. You know, you never play Montreal less than you do these days. You know, I think it's 4 games a year if you're lucky. And so it's going to be good. I think when you have teams that meet up twice in a short span of time, the second game is always the more, you know, physical, more aggressive of the two games. So hopefully that follows suit, and hopefully the Bruins, they're hoping they get somebody back for that game. A guy who's very familiar with the rivalry, Milan Lucic, would be his first game back as a Bruin against the Canadiens. And Saturday night in Boston, I mean, he would love that. So let's see if he trends that way from his injury.
Before that, Bruins will travel to Buffalo to take on the scuffling Sabres tomorrow night. What do the Bees have to do to be successful in that one?
Yeah, that's the team. I think you just need to limit their high-end talent. I think that defensively, you could still put some goals up on them. But if you allow some of their skilled players to take over, it's going to be a run-and-gun kind of game, which the Bruins want to avoid. I would say that, you know, it's been really interesting watching this Buffalo team. I thought they would take a leap. I didn't think that it would be as great as many other people did. But I'm very surprised right now that they are playing the way they're playing. You know, Connor Clifton, old friend of the Bruins, signed with the Buffalo Sabres, and really hasn't been a great fit for him so far. So defensively, you can still kind of expose this team, and I expect the Bruins to try to do that, especially you look at what they did on Saturday, only 2 goals. That's below their standard internally. So I just think defensively you want to avoid a run-and-gun game, but know that you can take some chances against a team that is still a bit too porous to be a true playoff contender, in my opinion.
As you take a look around the rest of the league, especially out west, we haven't seen much of them, but Dallas, Las Vegas, are they as good as their starts would indicate?
Yeah, I think Vegas is the best team in hockey. I think that they are just a complete product. You look at how deep they are up front, how big they are on the back end, and right now they're getting fantastic goaltending from Aiden Hill and Logan Thompson, who for a while there was the starter before his injury last season, was doing pretty well, I would say. So they have a great 1-2 punch as well in goal. So I think Vegas is the most complete team in hockey. I think that Dallas is a team that is built for playoff hockey, if that makes sense. Like, they may not have the same regular season accolades. Like, I don't know if they're going to win the President's Trophy, but that's a team that I look at how they're built and where they're built specifically. They're, again, size in the back end, strong goaltending in Jake Oettinger. That's a team that I think really could make some serious noise in the playoffs this year. I think you're talking about the two best teams in the Western Conference right there. You know, L.A. is good too, but L.A.'s got to get it figured out there with their goaltending if Cam Talbot is the guy or not. He's had a great start, but you know, ideally he's probably not your workhorse for the course of 82-game season. So you're going to have to see how that plays out. But I think Dallas and Vegas are just, they're just so built for both regular season success and playoff success.
Ty Anderson, 98.5, the Sports Hub, talking Bruins with us. Ty, great stuff as always. Thanks so much for being with us, and we'll catch up with you again in a couple of weeks.
Awesome. Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Ty Anderson here on Downtown on a Monday afternoon.